The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And I'm joined now by Ed Smith from Go Loud. Today, Ed, we're talking about the best music documentaries. Why are we talking about?
Well, first of all, it's my favourite thing to do is watch a music documentary with a bottle of incredibly cheap wine of a Friday night. But
Noel
Gallagher, yes, it is. It's a dream night for me. God be with the days when it wasn't. But so Noel Gallagher at the Brit Awards. The Brit Awards were on. If anyone noticed, the glory days of the Brit Awards really are well behind us. But Noel Gallagher turned up.
Oh, they were good this year, I think.
Do you know, I just find award ceremony now. But look, Noel did turn up, in fairness, and he brought some of the old 90s swagger back. And in it, he made reference to there's a new Oasis documentary. Very intriguing. No exact date as to when this is coming out. It's the people behind Peaky Blinders producers. And one of the directors of this has done, actually, ironically, a documentary about Blur. So it's footage of the reunion tour from last year. And apparently it's incredible, some of the stuff they've gotten here. Mm-hmm. So it got me to thinking and musing and scratching my chin as to some of my own favourite music documentaries that I've watched over the years. So I thought we'd run through some of them.
Great idea. Yeah. So we're set up for Friday night, really, with this.
Yes, yes.
So we're going back now to Amy Winehouse.
I know, it's 15 years since she passed away. It's incredible,
years,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's a mention of a guy called Asif Kapadia here, who's going to be mentioned again later on. He's without doubt the greatest living music documentary maker, I think, around at the moment. Anyway, so we're going back to the age of 19. Amy Winehouse burst onto the scene, Back to Black, incredible album. She joined the 27 Club, that awful expression, but she did pass away so young and so quickly at the age of 27, hounded by the press to death, I think. So this documentary really goes in to her genesis as an artist, her talent, her raw brilliance, also her vulnerability, and how the treatment of the press is very uncomfortable watching this. I found some of the jokes, even on Graham Norton, that we all laughed along with at the time. It's an uncomfortable watch, and that's the brilliance of it. So from 2015, one of my favourites, this is Amy.
Oh, it's a bit upsetting at the end, isn't it?
She was highly intelligent, the most intelligent person I knew.
She was so utterly authentic.
Amy, just give us a smile and then we can turn the camera off.
Do you promise?
She had such an emotional relationship to music.
You're becoming an artist in the public eye.
The more people see of me, the more they'll realise that all I'm good for is making music.
And she still has the power to give you
still
the tingles. You
yeah,
know,
we haven't seen anyone like her since, maybe.
Incredible.
You know, it's incredibly, really so sad. But we're going back now to 2004. Metallica, of course, everyone's favourite metal band, for most of us anyway. They decided, rather foolishly, I think, to take a documentary team on board while they were making their much maligned album, Saint Anger. They thought, behind the scenes, look, it would be great, wouldn't it, guys? Yeah. So maybe they hadn't seen Spinal Tap.
Let's do your stupid idea.
Yeah, let's do your stupid idea, says Lars. And we get a real, I mean, I think unintended look behind the scenes here. They are falling apart. So what they do here, rather incredibly, they bring in a kind of a self-help guru. So your image of a metal band being completely, you know, all beers and raucousness. They bring in this kind of New Age speak babbling nonsense head called Phil Towle, who kind of tries to get them to speak about their feelings and how their, you know, their dynamics aren't working, and it provides some amazing moments. But the tension in particular between James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich really carries this documentary. If you have not seen it, it is laugh out loud funny, unintentionally so, so that makes it even more funny. So it's Metallica's from 2004, Some Kind of Monster.
You know what I mean? You're saying this so you can get your point across about doing a drum beat. I mean, you know, it doesn't hold any water.
To you.
It doesn't.
I think it's stock. What? Which part of that is unclear to you? I think it sounds stock to my ears. I mean, you want me to write it down? I think
it
feels stock,
I
okay?
Can't hear you.
So I
come No, when you say, you're telling me what to play right now. You're telling me you should play with what Kirk's doing, and I'm telling you it's stock.
Dude. Fine.
You know what, guys? Why don't we just go in there and just hammer it out, all right, instead of hammering on each other?
That's Metallica, Some Kind of Monster. The next one I love the sound of. I miss this one. This is from 2013.
This is top three for me of all time. 2013, it focuses on some of the most legendary backing singers. So this is why it's called 20 Feet from Stardom. These
Great
are the people
idea.
That stand behind the main people on the stage. So you're looking at the likes of Darlene Love, Lisa Fisher. But the standout moment from this, and one of my favourite moments from any documentaries, is the song Gimme Shelter from Rolling Stones was recorded. Obviously, the backing vocals on that, maybe many people wouldn't know her name, but her name is Mary Clayton. And she is interviewed on this as to how her astonishing, maybe the greatest backing vocal performance of all time, came about. She was in her bed, she got a call at like 2 a.m. from the Rolling Stones were in studio. When Mick Jagger calls, she didn't know who they were. She rocks down in her dressing gown and her curlers and produces one of the greatest moments in music history, as far as I'm concerned. I'm getting goosebumps now even thinking about it, but her description of it and Jagger's is the highlight of one of the great documentaries.
He said, it would be wonderful if a woman sang this part about that I'd written about rape, murder and all this. It was in the middle of the night and we thought, well, we would love to have a woman sing this part. I didn't know her, and from Adam. And then she turned up in her curler, she was in bed, and she got out of bed. And, you know, it was a kind of raunchy part to sing. I mean, she just did it, like, a couple of times, you know.
So I said to myself, I'm going to do another one. I'm going to blow them out of this room. I went in again, and I did that pass on the part that says, rape, murder, just a shallow way. So I had to go up another octave.
Yeah!
Rape, murder, it's just a shallow way. It's just a shallow way.
Incredible.
Oh my God, it's amazing. And her own version of that song as well, I would definitely recommend people checking it out now.
I'm going to watch that. That's 20 Feet from Stardom.
Of all the ones I've talked about, probably my favourite. So
right, that's on my list for the weekend. Where
so
are we going next?
Year 2000, Julian Temple, very much a documentary maker associated with the punk scene. He was involved in the great Rock and Roll Swindle, a kind of mockumentary with Malcolm McDowell, the Sex Pistols manager. 20 years later, he went back and did a proper job himself on it. It is a visual feast. The amount of footage and photographs that he's gotten from that late 70s period in London is astonishing. His interviews with the members of the Sex Pistols, really, it's really powerful stuff. You know, it's very frenetic, as you'd imagine a punk documentary would be. A lot of editing. It's an amazing moment, and it's very quickly, if I can mention, that footage of one of the clubs in London, and it freeze frames just for 1 second, and it's about a 14-year-old Shane McGowan leaping in the air, spitting, I'm assuming. So he picks out some of the figures that would later on, Billy Idol is there. But anyway, there's a moment in this documentary in which John Lydon is speaking about the passing of Johnny Rotten. And it is so powerful, so moving, because we all know Johnny Lydon is the snarling, spitting, you know, kind of almost comic book figure. But in this, it really shows a moment of real, I suppose, regret and vulnerability. And it really is astonishing.
I've lost my friend. I couldn't have changed it. I was too young. God, I wish I was smarter. You can look back on it and go, I could have done something. He died, for f***ing sake. They just turned it into making money. Ha, 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 ha. I'm hilarious for them. I'll hate them forever for doing that.
That's The Filth and the Fury. Now, we started with Oasis,
yes,
on the prospect of the new doc, so we're going back to them now.
Back to 2016. It's 10 years old, this. Hard to believe. But I suppose we should really kind of close the book on this with some Oasis. This is Supersonic. Again, Asif Kapadia back again. He was the guy behind Amy. And also, if you're into sport, he did an amazing one, Diego Maradona and Senna. An astonishing filmmaker, but he took on Oasis, which is probably the most difficult one of all. This really captures, again, it's a documentary for me, lives and dies, obviously on the talking heads and the access to the people involved themselves, but also you need to get back in under the fingernails of some of the early days and the footage and the photographs. And it is, he has gone back to Charlestown, County Mayo, like he's gone really under the dirt here. And I think it really captures like how really chaotic and toxic it was. Now, we all kind of maybe laughed it off at the time, and looking back now, since they've come back, it's a bit more cuddly now, but it really was a dreadful time in the band. And Noel in particular is very, looking back now, but maybe with the wisdom of old age, and he's a bit more wise about it, but he really captures, I think, really how, especially in particularly the tour of Holland, why it didn't work in the States. It's one of the great documentaries in capping the essence and I think the soul of a band, as you'll hear from Noel and Liam here, that maybe they have a different view on what a band should be. But if you want to get into Oasis, you should have been in the first place, but start again. 2016's Supersonic, one of the great music documentaries of recent years.
Section of a tour, it was just going off every night. I felt that people were turning up to cause trouble. It was getting me down, if I'm being honest. We were getting the reputation as these bad boys of rock and roll. That's all great, but can we talk about the music first?
I think any band worth their salt is not about just the music. If you haven't got that kind of behaviour and you've just got great tunes, then you're pretty boring as far as I'm concerned. It's about both. When both come together, you have greatness.
From Supersonic in 2016, Ed Smith, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Claire.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. conversation that counts.